It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Turn to someone next to you and say, it is so good to be in the house of the Lord. I am really privileged to be here this morning. Thank you, Brother Joe, for the opportunity given to me. My wife and son wanted to be here. They were very desirous to be here. We tried for my son's visa to USA, and the U.S. Embassy in Hyderabad thought he is a young 19 years old, and so they thought he would stay back in USA for study or something, so he could not get his visa. My wife had to stay back with him back home, so she's not here. But I am happy to be here. Every time I come here, I am so thrilled because of your love and care, affection, hospitality, more than that, your support. This morning I have a message entitled, Can Miracles Happen Again? All those who are going to Mexico, do you want a miracle to happen there? All those who are going to Zambia, do you want a miracle to happen there? All those who are going to the prisons, do you expect a miracle to happen there? Do you want God to do a miracle in the prisons? The gate shaking and the place shaking. Turn with me to the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 9. I'm not going to read the verses 17 to 28 my message will be based on, but I'm not going to read all of that. Let me read verse 28 and 29 from chapter 9. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. It said, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. When he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, because it's a shameful thing to ask Jesus publicly that question, whatever they are asking now. They said, why couldn't you cast out the evil spirit? Jesus said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting. This kind cannot be driven out by prayer and fasting. Shall we pray? Lord, we pray that you will give us a message that will be a blessing to our hearts, to our families, to our ministry. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes when we pray for a miracle, pray for a critical situation to be solved, we pray for a need to be met, sometimes we feel like God doesn't seem to be answering our prayer. Somebody is struggling from a very critical problem in his life. Someone who is suffering from a chronic, long-time disease. He feels like God is not answering my prayer. And this happens because he is dejected, he is discouraged. Something from within tells him, it's no use, brother, no use, sister, praying to God anymore, because he's not going to do a miracle. I speak on the television 3 times a week every week in India. And now don't tell me television is a bad thing, because these 3 episodes are divine. They are spiritual. And when I speak, I get hundreds of calls to our office. We give them 3-4 telephone numbers on the screen to call us for help. And hundreds we get every day, people calling us. One of the girls who heard me, she is from a college in India, and she wrote like this. She was very frustrated because of some unanswered prayers. She said, I pray to God many times, but I have not received an answer. I am desperate. It has become very difficult for me even to sleep in the nighttime peacefully. I am not able to take any more rejection. I don't understand why Jesus is doing this to me. I am losing confidence in myself. I fear one day I may lose my confidence in God Himself. Have you ever gone through a situation like that? Or you know someone who has gone through a situation, a desperate situation as this, that losing confidence in God, losing confidence on himself or herself. If someone today passing through this extreme situation in life, or you know someone, a friend or a relative passing through such extreme situation in life, this message will be a blessing to you and to them as well. If a few months back, some of you have prayed for my son. Deku was 25 years old, just through with his MBA in the college, and he was almost ready to take up the ministry that God has given us. The Lord wanted to call him home. He was in the hospital suffering from this incurable disease, humanly speaking. But as you know me, as you know my family and ministry that we are involved in, we have a very powerful group of praying men and women in the ministry. God has done many, many, many innumerable miracles in the ministry. The fact that in the past 25 years, God has given us, help us to plant 950 churches all across the Indian subcontinent is enough of a proof that God is a miracle-working God. The fact that we have rescued so many children from the streets and given them a hope in life, God is a miracle-working God. I prayed for my son very, very much. I and my wife cried days and nights to bring about a healing in my son. We knew that that was an incurable disease. And I asked all my churches, you know, if you put all our churches together into one whole unit, it will be a congregation of 87,000 people. All these thousands of people prayed for Deco's healing. And I knew at least 300 chain groups all over the world where I put in this request in the mainstream of the prayer groups. And all over the world, people cried and prayed for Deco. The final result was, he passed away in the early hours of 7th January. You know, I had questions boggling my mind. Lord, why couldn't you hear my prayer? Why couldn't you hear the prayers of Deku, who was also praying? Why couldn't you hear the prayers of thousands and thousands and thousands of people who were crying, interceding on behalf of this young boy? And if you had to take him, why he had to suffer such a terrible disease? Why he had to suffer so much in the hospital, bleeding from the nose, bleeding from the mouth? Why? If you wanted to take him, you could have simply taken him without a fatal disease. You know, questions were so real. Finally, it dawned on me, whatever I could understand, I spent enough time with God after he passed away to understand the intent of God's mind, why Deku had to go. Whatever I could understand, I stored it up in my heart. Whatever I could not understand, I am still struggling to gather the fragments for a solution. Finally, it dawned on me that God is all-knowing. We are not. We do not understand from this end of the world all the purposes of God. And He is all-knowing. That is the attribute of God. It's not mine. I'm a human person. On the other hand, God does not seem to be giving a positive answer to my problems. Should not make me upset or question the ability of God. Now, sometimes you question, I could question the ability of God's Lord, this is, you healed all the healable diseases. This is an incurable disease in my son. you could not heal that. I can question God's ability. My mind went back to the time of David in 2 Samuel chapter 12, where he is praying for his own son. David the king, you know, praying for 7 days for his son. The word says that he did not touch food, no catfish, no rice, no hamburger, nothing, no pizza, no Mexican taquito, macaroni cheese. He did not touch food for 7 days. Then he says it. He laid on the ground for 7 days. He pleaded with God that God would heal his son from that death condition. 7 days he prayed, and people were worried what was happening to King David. We never saw him in such desperate condition. Finally, at the end of 7 days, the son passes away. And quickly the soldiers and the people in the inner circle of David, they realized that David would be very grieved now, because when his son was alive, he did not touch food. Now what will happen to David? David rose from the ashes and he bathed himself, he anointed himself, and then he put on his robe. He went to the house of the Lord and worshipped him. I think this incident in David's life well explains the purposes of prayer. You know, sometimes when I come to West, whether Europe or America, people tell me, some people have told me, I don't need to pray. I open my fridge, there is food. I go to this and I have this. I don't need to pray. I have a disease. I have the Trinity Mother Francis. That's what I was looking for, that word, Brother Joe. No, I don't need God. Why should I pray to him? But this very well explains the purpose of prayer. We don't pray to God for getting something from him. That would be a self-centered prayer. Anyone who prays for a material blessing, though God can give us material blessings, anyone who prays for that, it would be a very self-centered prayer. David was not doing that. The moment he said, he saw his son passed away, he said, this is God's will. He quickly gets up from his sorrowful condition, though he's no more sorrowful, he is rejoicing. He went to the house of the Lord to worship him there, because his son died in God's will. Accepting the will of the Lord is prayer. In that great prayer, that model prayer Jesus taught us, his disciples, it says, we quoted that, the first verse, Our Father in heaven. Then it goes on to say, Your will be done as it is in heaven, here on earth. Prayer is to accept the will of the Father. Prayer is to accept God's will, whether it is death or life, sorrow or joy. Whatever the situation, we accept God's will in our prayer. That is the real prayer. Jesus going into the Garden of Gethsemane, he was spending time with the Lord, with the Father, and he was accepting the will of the Father. Now, when we go down into our own personal Gethsemane, we relinquish all our rights and privileges. We relinquish all our desires and say, Lord, in the Garden of Gethsemane of mine, I accept your will. Not my will. I relinquish. I do away with all my desires and preferences. I am here to accept the will of God. Isn't it amazing that when we go to prayer, you know, I have talked to some business people here and also in India. Some businessmen are very, very rich. They don't talk in hundreds or dollars. They don't talk about thousands either. They talk in hundred thousands and millions. Now God, who inhabits eternity, time is not known to him. He dwells in eternity. He talks eternity. How much love, God? Eternity. How much you care, Lord? Eternal. How much is your resources? Immeasurable. He talks in eternity. The God who operates on the concept of eternity, he is coming down, confining himself to time to spend a few moments with you and me. Isn't that wonderful? God is willing to come down to time, restrict himself to time, so that he could spend time with you and me. Now, if I give you a piece of paper today and a pen, of course, you all have your pens and piece of paper, and ask you how much time you spent with your wife or husband or children or your dad and mom, I think you will have some answers. And also I'll say, why you spend the time? You will have a reason for spending time with your dad and mother, wife, husband. If I gave you a piece of paper with the same question, a little different, how much you spend time with your God today or every day? How much time? We call him Father, still no time with him? It's not for the needs of our lives. We call him Father. He is willing to come down to time and spend time with us. Pat on our shoulder. Show his love to us. He is waiting to receive us into his presence. How much time do we spend with our Heavenly Father? Hezekiah. Before I go there, Hezekiah was very sick one time. This is a miracle happened. No, this is a miracle that really happened. Hezekiah was very sick. And Isaiah was sent to him. God said, go to Hezekiah, my servant, and he is praying. Who is praying? No one is praying for Hezekiah. He is praying for his own disease. God, grant me the healing because I have a responsibility for the kingdom. And Isaiah goes to send there not to pray for Hezekiah. He simply says, get me a lump of figs and apply it on your sore. Make me a lump of figs, apply it on your sore, and you will be healed. Hezekiah would have expected, if I went there, he would say, please pray for me, Joab. I am suffering from the disease. But God sends Isaiah and says, apply the lump of figs on the sore, you will be healed. God is unique. He knows different ways of healing people. Sometimes Jesus would touch them, he would heal them. At one time, Jesus said, go and apply the mud on your eyes and you shall see. He is a miracle working God. We cannot limit him to one pattern of miracle. Hezekiah was healed because of his... The story of Hezekiah says that no one prayed for him. He prayed for his own disease. And he gets the healing. Apostle Paul, I'm talking about the issues of life and how the prayers sometimes are not answered. Apostle Paul, he talks in 2 Corinthians 12 chapter. He says, I prayed to God three times. He had a chronic disease. Some people say he had the eye disease. Some people say he had some other disease. But he was suffering from a suffering. He had a suffering that issued from a chronic disease. And he says, Apostle Paul, who healed many diseases, who performed many miracles, because of his prayer, many were healed. Now he prays for his own disease three times to God. And God said, Paul, you are not going to be healed. My grace will be sufficient to you. Is that a miracle? My grace is going to be sufficient for you. And Paul says, I glory in the grace of Jesus. I boast in my infirmities because the power of Christ can be operative in me. I take that grace and accept the power of God to come in me. When the power of God operates in you, That's a miracle. Apostle Paul could not heal himself. He had to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. Remember 1 Timothy 5:23, what he tells Timothy? Take a little medication. I use the word medication here, not the word wine, because that has led many to different situations. Led into a misunderstanding. This is not a theology class, so I don't expect that to be explained. But I use the word medication here. Paul says, take a little medication for your stomach's sake. Why couldn't Paul pray for him? Paul could have simply prayed, in the name of Jesus, let your stomach pain go. He said, Timothy, you do well to take a little medication for yourself. At one time when Paul was in Miletus, that you find in 2 Timothy 4:20, Trophimus was very, very ill. He was so seriously ill that Paul had to stay back with him in Miletus. Why? Paul, who could perform miracles, Paul, who could really bring God's power into the situation and into the lives of the people, he did not heal Trophimus. You know what he did? If you read that verse, you find that he left him in Miletus, moved on in his journey. He left Miletus with a sick Trophimus in that island, and he moved on his missionary journey. Why? Paul could have simply said, in the name of Jesus, by the power of Jesus, Trophimus, let your sickness go. He could have spoken healing into the Trophimus. But Paul here, for his own life, and for the life of Timothy, and for the life of Trophimus, he was trying to accept God's will. We do not know sometimes why sickness comes. It could come because of the old age. It could come because somebody is drinking heavily. It could come because of satanic influences. In this chapter that I just told you, Mark's 9th chapter, the sickness has come because of the evil influence on the boy. The father brings the boy to the disciples, and then the disciples could not heal the boy. You know, that would be a very shameful situation in my culture. Suppose somebody brings a child to me and I pray, in fact, it really happened in one situation. We were having a gospel campaign in a town, and the gospel meeting was supposed to begin at 6 o'clock. 3 o'clock, a group of people brought an evil-possessed woman to us. And before they come to my room, they were stopped by our prayer warriors in the campus. I saw them. Me and my wife, Suchitra, we looked out to the window, and they were being stopped by a group of men, our men, to be prayed over. So they led him into a room, led them into a room. They began to pray. We can hear the shout, in the name of Jesus. That was a very grave situation, because I am supposed to preach at 6 o'clock. If the evil spirit is not cast out, they will say, what kind of a preacher he is? What kind of a miracle worker he is? You know, the miracle would really put a great effect on the people. So we really cry to the Lord. I am counting minutes before I can go to the meeting at 5:30. 3:30, 4, 4:15, 4:30. You know, it kept on going till 5:30 in the evening before the evil spirit left that woman. What a glorious service we had that evening. I think that lady with the evil spirit was trying to come in the way of the power of God. And this is the same situation. We do not know how long the disciples prayed over this boy who was mute and deaf. He couldn't speak. He could not hear. And afterwards, Jesus diagnosed and said, this boy is because of the evil spirit's influence. He is not able to speak and hear. I think your hospital would have treated him into the ear and into the mouth. Operate on his ear and tongue. But Jesus said, this is the influence, satanic influence. And I'm going to rebuke the evil spirit to get out. We do not know how long the disciples prayed. If you go to heaven, when we go to heaven, we can ask the disciples, how long did you pray over the boy? 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. How much you prayed? You know, the power does not come when you pray over the sick person at that moment. The power comes from the reserve that you have. The prayer that you spend before you face a situation. That's why we call them prayer warriors. The power is there, God's power, because they have spent enough time with the Lord before they face a situation. College kids, one time, they knocked at the door of the Tabernacle Church in London. That's the church of Charles Spurgeon. It was summertime. Somebody opened the door. Later on, they knew that it was Charles Spurgeon himself. He was very famous, and then these boys wanted to hear him preach. They arrived in the church 7:30. The service was supposed to begin at 8 o'clock morning. And the man who opened the door, he wanted to take them to the powerhouse. When the college kids heard he was going to lead them into the powerhouse, it was summer morning. They did not want to go to a powerhouse where it will be hot. But he led them to the basement of the church. To their utter surprise, they see these college kids, 700 men and women falling prostrate before the Lord, crying unto the Lord for the power of God to come that Sunday morning. No wonder half an hour later when Charles Spurgeon got on the pulpit, there was fire. There was power of the Lord. We need to be led to that powerhouse, that reserve, that connection with the powerhouse. So when we pray for people, pray over sickness, pray over a situation, that power is released. That power is released. You know, Daniel 11:32, I did not ask Brother Joe how long I was going to speak, but I'll be done soon. I remember two drunkards were going in a city pavement, and are you looking at your watch? they were going on the city pavement, and they were fighting over the time. One drunkard said to the other, they were under the drunken stupor. He said, "This is 9 o'clock morning." The other one said, "No, this is night 9 o'clock." So they fought over the issue. One says evening 9 o'clock. The other says morning 9 o'clock. A man was passing by. They stopped him. He said, "Tell me or tell us which time it is, morning, night, or evening night." The man looked at both, and they were kind of that murderous look. If he's on the side of one person, other person was about to beat him up. If he tells the truth, then the other person would come on him. So he thought for a while and said, "Well, I cannot tell the time because I do not belong here. I don't belong to this place, so I don't know the time here. And if I go long, I'll say the same thing. I don't belong to Tyler." Well, they said, if Daniel 11:32, it is, I love that verse. They said, "The people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Do you expect a miracle? How do you have a miracle? The more you know God, the more you are connected with God, the more you have the knowledge of this great God, that brings great confidence in you. I think I have, the more I have known of praying people, I have seen tremendous confidence on God. The more you know God, the more confidence you have who you are praying to, what you are praying for. The more we spend time with God, Daniel says, the more you know God, people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, coming back to that, can miracles happen? If I pray and every disease is healed, there'll be no hospitals. If every disease is healed, there'll be no one who will be sick or die of sickness. I'm relating to my son's incident again. If I pray because I have the power to pray, and every sickness is healed in the world, there'll be no sickness. No one will die of sickness. There'll be no hospitals. But that is why I say, we pray because we want God's will to be done in our lives. We pray to accept God's will. So we say, Lord, no more my will. This body is a body of clay. Job talks about it. 2 Corinthians 4:16 talks about it. Job 4:19 talks about it. This body is the jar house of clay. It will be destroyed one day. It's being destroyed for some reasons, because we live in this world. There will come a day when this body is going to be transformed, but until then, we have a reason to live, a purpose to carry out, a God's will to be done in our lives. You know, every person has a purpose in life. Jeremiah 29:13 onwards, you see, I have a purpose for you. I have a hope for you. I have a will for your life. And then later on, 13th verse says, if you know me more, if you are fully, wholeheartedly committed to me, then I will do whatever you ask for. The first is, if you pray, if you seek me with all your heart, now mark that word, all your heart. If I have a way to look into your heart, how much of that heart is for God? Some goes for my job, some goes for the ministry, some goes for my wife, some goes for my children, some for recreation, some for rest, a lot of time for television, a lot of time for food. It says, if you seek me with all your heart, on one hand, we expect the miracle from the Lord. On the other hand, no time with him at all. It is not all heart seeking. How can the miracle happen? Even if it is the will of the Lord, we need to claim this miracle into our lives, into our families, into our ministries, so that God's power becomes available to us. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now this morning I'm going to ask you not a very difficult thing. Having preached on this, the very highest form of Christian service, I would like to impress upon you for something this morning. Now I have been talking a lot on this these days. I have got this prayer band. It says 300 Gideon's Club. You know, you see one on my hand and one I have enrolled Brother Joe already. He has got on his hand. This says 300 Gideon's Club, desperate for a miracle. Are you desperate for a miracle? Now, if you are willing to, I'm not pressing on you. If you are willing to wholeheartedly to spend at least 15 minutes with God now onwards, today onwards. Is God asking too much from you? He says, "Lo, friend, daughter, son, I want to spend 15 minutes with you. I want to come into the time from eternity. Confine myself to that 15 minutes time with you. I want to spend time with you. I desire to do so." So if you are willing to accept God's desire for your life, I would like to give this wristband to you. You can put it on your hand, and every day you see, you will remember to pray for, spend time with God 15 minutes a day. I'm also selfish in one way. When you spend that 15 minutes, you can also remember India. I have got a few with me. If you would raise your hands, I'll pass it on. Can somebody help me, please? Robert, yes. I want that all of this will go today. You can pray for a lot of things in 15 minutes. It's a winning situation. with God. Yeah, there are lots of hands there. Is it run out? Oh, I'm sorry about it, but we will try to get it to you. Brother Joe can take your names down. Please give your names. We will try to get them to you. I'm sorry, but my faith was small. All those who raise your hands, would you say this with me? The people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And do exploits. More exploits. More miracles. Hallelujah. Brother Joe.